All right. Well, if you will open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you something from Colossians, but I'm going to read it in a different translation from the one I'm going to do the other. But I just want you to listen to this, because the wonder of Christ living in us and the fact that, yes, we're trying to hold on to Christ, but we know we're not strong enough to hold on to God. We're not strong enough to be faithful in ourselves. We can't earn our salvation. We're counting on God holding on to us. We're counting on the fact that because we've responded to His love genuinely from our hearts, that He has adopted us into His family, and He has us in His hand, and who can snatch Him out of our hands? Or who can snatch us out of His hands? No one. And I just love this this little section I'm going to read you in Colossians before I move to Romans, and it says, "And now," so this is right now for us at this moment, "and now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him." You know, some of that we're doing right now. Some of you made a sacrifice to get up and to come here when it's raining, and you've chosen to do all kinds of things that are in obedience to Him, things that He tells you that you need to do. One of them is to gather together. One of them is to listen to His word. One of them is to communicate with Him and develop your own personal relationship with Him. One of them is to be transparent about the love and the gift and the wisdom that God has given you. All types of things that God has asked us to do, we now want to continue to be obedient. Let your roots grow down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. This is interesting, because that's an ongoing thing, and it is the thing that we can never get out of our minds. We need our daily bread. We need the daily nourishment from God. God can stand on Himself. He doesn't need anyone to encourage Him. We need encouragement. God can stand on His own. He knows the truth without having to remind Himself. We can get pulled away. But we need to be built up, to draw near to Him, and to be nourished in that, so that we will grow in faith, and we all need our faith to grow, that we will be strong, and we all need times when we need strengthening, and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. So we need to be able to be firm and to know how that truth applies to our situation, and to know we're doing what God wants us to do. And we need to constantly be evaluating that. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. And you know, when we follow God, He parts the ways. When we follow God, He provides. When we follow God, He enables. When we follow God, He equips. And so we see God. You know, the humble shall see God at work and be glad. If you want to see God at work, you have to be serving Him. You have to be following Him. You have to be following His truth. And when He does, our lives overflow with thanksgiving. Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. Boy, we're surrounded with that. Every time you turn on the TV, someone will tell you the solutions for all of our problems and for this country. But there's no solution outside of Christ. And there's no solution outside of individual submission to God. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body, and you are complete through your union with Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. And as we sit and we think, you know, I can search for fulfillment physically, I can search for fulfillment emotionally. But if I can't find that anchor of my heart in that relationship of knowing above all things Christ rules and I am in His hands, above all things, no matter what happens, My heart is Christ, and God has a plan for me that no one can change and no one can thwart unless I decide to. That God is in control of my life and no one is stronger than Him. No one can separate me from Him, and no one can change His will for my life. And that anchor gives us peace, and that anchor gives us joy. I think I'll read one more verse here before I flip to Romans and we look at that. But in Galatians it tells us, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we want. You know I've got mercy through Christ. Sometimes I need a little grace. I always need grace. I am not able to do the things that God wants me to do. I need Him to give me the ability. I need Him to give me what I need, not just not give me what I deserve. I need the ability to do things that I need to do. I need that grace. And I need a calm, peaceful spirit as I walk through life. I don't know about you, but when I'm in turmoil or when I think things are, I don't know what's going to go on, and I'm looking like this and I'm worried and I'm stressed. I don't know about you, but I don't make as good of decisions, do you? I make good decisions when I'm at peace that God is at work and God has got this. And so I just need to objectively look to see what is God doing and join Him there and not worry about it. And it continues and says, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age? You know, I think a lot of times in our society, we forget that this present age is evil. That you cannot have the love of the world in you and the love of the Father in you. That the world and God's kingdom, they are at enmity. They are not together and they are not going to be together. They're going in two different directions. And one of them is saying, hey, you know, from me, I can fulfill you, so you have to think about and struggle and work and climb and scratch to be able to fulfill yourself. It's all about you and what you can get out of this world. And one of them is saying, look, I am going to give you more than you could ever imagine. You just trust me and walk with me, and don't get pulled away on what you want. You follow what I want, and you're going to find that you don't want what you thought you wanted. Because what I'll give you is so much better. And Christ came to rescue us from making a choice to reject God and reject what God has for us because we think that something else would be better. And deep in our hearts, all of us have experienced that. When we're lost, that is how we think. We'd like to be where God wants us. We'd like God to bless us, but we can't not do this, or we can't not have this, or we are blinded into conforming to the world and deceiving ourselves into thinking that we can love the world and follow the world and not reject Christ. But in reality, that's what we're doing, whether we see it or not, and to have our eyes open to that. And to be rescued from what's natural for us, pursuing the world. So He rescued us from the present age according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. You know, I think sometimes it's good for us just to stop and just to sit back and just to think and realize, just to stop and think and realize about who Christ is. About who God is and what Christ has really done for us. So I've got you at chapter 5, but it starts with the word therefore. So therefore, we will start with the last verse in the chapter before it. So if you'll take a look at verse 25 of chapter 4, it tells us this. It says, He, speaking of Christ, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's a really, really important and a really, really interesting verse, the way that Paul states it. He was delivered over to death for our sins. Now, anyone who's been a Christian, that's an easy concept to understand. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit tells us that we have separated ourselves from God. And we realize that God still loves us and He's calling us and the purpose of Christ coming is to open our eyes to realize how much God loves us and that he understands how serious our sin is, but he's going to pay for it. And so all of us, as we come, it's easy for us to understand that Christ died for our sins, and even though we're guilty, God is considering the account paid in full, and that we are justified in his sight. But that second part of that verse sometimes escapes people. And that's the part that says, and he was raised to life for our justification. Because we look at it and we think, well, wait, hold it, I'm already justified. Which is true. When God looks at you because of the sacrifice of Christ and because of your realization and acceptance, your confession of your sin, your repentance, or your turning to God, even though you're not able to do everything God wants, that commitment that you make to him, he takes you in your hands now. He holds on to you. He adopts you into his family. And he says you're a baby in Christ. You may grow to be a child in Christ. But the thing is that we're all growing, and God doesn't love us dependent upon how we perform. He loves us because he loves us, and when we see that and love him back, he's going to help us develop. And we are justified. He looks at us as if we had never rebelled. He looks at us as if we were his children from birth. He looks at us and cares about us as if we had never rebelled against him. He loves us and treats us as children. However, we are like children. And sometimes we don't always do the right thing, even when we want to. And so we're not always practically just like God wants us to be. And like we talked about last week, this is just an open area for the devil to attack us in. Because he knows that we understand that Christ died for us and paid for our sins, and we don't want to sin anymore. We want to be who God wants us to be, and we are justified in his sight, and God has forgiven us. And then we walk along, and all of a sudden, we realize that we're not actually living that way. We got some things that we just said, or some things we did, or some attitudes we have, or God says forgive, and I'm struggling with it. I'm holding a grudge, and we realize that I am not just like God wants me to be. And of course, you know who finds an opportunity in that? The great accuser. And he accuses us with things like, you're nothing like Christ. How can you call yourself a Christian and do that? How can you call yourself a Christian and be like that? And so our justification is not only something that is done for us, and it's sealed in heaven, and God knows, but it's something that we sometimes have to be reminded of. And it's a process of us growing in faith to understand that we are justified in Christ, and that those sins have been wiped away, and that God, through his Holy Spirit, is working them out of our lives, but he's not condemning us because some of them are still being worked out, and some of them are still in there because we are human beings, and we are weak because we are fleshly, and we do have a human nature. It's kind of like Peter, and we've talked about this before, and you guys have seen it, but I want you once again just to think about the confidence and the exuberance and the excitement and the commitment that Peter had as he walked for 3 years with Jesus. And he saw how Jesus encouraged him. And Jesus told him what his future was going to be. That he would be the pillar of the church. That he would be a leader. That he was going to be strong for the brothers. As a matter of fact, that Satan was going to attack him and sift him like wheat, but he was going to sift all of them. And when Peter came back, Peter was the one who was going to strengthen his brothers. I mean, he caught a vision of the great things God wanted to do in his life. And he may have struggled a little bit with thinking he was more important than others. And, you know, God adjusted that in his life. But it was a tough adjustment, wasn't it? Because Peter was so committed to Christ and the things that he saw Christ had done for him that he swore he would never, under any circumstances, even if he died under pain of death, he would never, never reject Christ. And yet he did. And I love the gospel that tells us that at the moment that he did, he looked over and through the crowd, guess whose face he saw? And he looked right in his eyes. And it was a good opportunity for the accuser to say, "You don't love Christ. You love yourself. You can't be faithful. God can't count on you. Who are you kidding? You can't stand justified before God. Not after what you've done." And it was difficult on Peter. Judas couldn't handle it. He went out and hung himself. Peter had nowhere to go. And I was reading just this week, and I read this verse that jumped out at Mark. And you guys all know that on the road to Emmaus, there were the two disciples who were walking with Christ, and they didn't realize who he was until he opened up the scriptures to them, and then he broke bread with them, and they realized who it was, and they immediately were going to go back. Jesus told them, go back and tell the disciples. And there's a little phrase right there that I had never seen before. It said, go back and tell the disciples and Peter. And I thought about that, and I thought, now here is Christ who died for Peter's sins, who has committed himself to Peter, who has a plan for Peter's life that's an important plan in the kingdom, that he's got a hold of Peter, and no matter what's happening, he's not going to let him go. And let me tell you something, Peter's in a good place to quit. He's in a good place to get discouraged and to say, how can I show my face in here again? And, you know, I always kind of figured that Peter was always hanging around with the disciples, and we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think it's really interesting that Jesus says, go back and tell the disciples and tell Peter. Because, you know, there have been some times in my life where I felt like I was really separated from God, and you know how it is when you get separated from God, you're in a place where compromises happen, and then guilt comes in. And where's the last place you want to go? Right here. Where's the last place you want to be? In fellowship with people who are talking about, you know, Christ and how to live for Christ and things. You know, when you feel guilty, you want to isolate. You want to separate. That's what Satan wants in our lives. He wants us to separate. Because if we can separate from places where God can speak to us, then he can really pour the accusations on. He can really pour the condemnation on. And so I don't know. Maybe there was a period in there where Peter, you know, kind of just felt like, after what I've done, how am I here with this group? I don't know where to go. Maybe he was drifting off. It's interesting that Jesus tells part of the church to go tell Peter, to go get Peter, and to bring him back in. And I'm not going to go through the story of how Christ came and met with Peter, and even right before he left, how he once again confirmed to Peter, listen, you know, you are okay with me. I recognize that you love me. I recognize that you didn't love me as well as I loved you, but that was no secret before. We're not here because we love Christ as much as he loved us. We're here because he loved us much more than we loved him. And we finally come to realize it, and we need to remember and to walk with that. Because we have not only been justified, but as we walk through life and we stumble, we may stumble as a righteous man 7 times, but the Lord will what? He will lift us up. Because we are in God's hands, and God's Holy Spirit lives within us. Therefore, it says in chapter 5, since we have been justified through faith, that's something that's already happened. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. So we have been justified by what Christ did for us. And we stand with our sins wiped away. They've been thrown into the sea. They've been separated as far as the east is from the west. God will not call them back as record to us. And when the accuser comes and accuses us, His answer is going to be paid. It's already been paid through the blood of Christ. It is covered by the blood of Christ. But now, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, we become a Christian when we recognize who the authority is. And instead of rebelling, we submit to that authority. And we are overwhelmed with joy because we see that the authority doesn't want to punish us. We don't have to pay back everything that we've done. But the authority is merciful and gracious, and he wants to not only just wipe away the past sins that we have, but he wants to start rebuilding wherever we are and making things good. God is for us. And so we have that confidence to think, well, who can be against us when God is for us? But we need to stand in that faith. We need to remember that there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because those of you who are in here who are children of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you, that doesn't mean that you can't get discouraged. But it does mean that you can't live in a way that you know is disgraceful with Christ and emotionally handle things. You know that you are separated from God. And you know it doesn't matter what else is going on. You know that that is the important thing in life, and you can't handle it. And if you cannot come to that place of being able to remember and receive forgiveness and to remember that you are justified, you are loved, and you are being worked with and grown to be mature in Christ just like you treat your children, if you all of a sudden start thinking that God treats you like your boss treats you instead of how you treat your children, then that condemnation can come in and discouragement comes in, and we're like everyone else. You know, most of us, when pain is there, we look for a way to numb that pain or to get away from that pain, right? And there's all kinds of different ways that we can do that. But the thing about it is that God is telling us in our relationship with him, there shouldn't be any pain. Because God knows your heart. And at times we feel like because of what we've done, we can't be who we should be. But God is telling us, yes, you can. The same thing that we tell our kids when they struggle. When they have a big disappointment. When they don't make the varsity team. When they don't get the date with the person that they really love. When they try something and they fail. You know, what do we tell them? You know, that doesn't define who you are. You know, this event is not what your life is about. Your life is about the consistency of who you are and the love that you have. And you are loved and we believe in you. You will find your place. Your life is not hung up on one event. But that's hard sometimes for us to feel. Because one big screw up at work and we can get fired. Some of us have been fired like that. Some of us realize that where we're at, if we don't perform, we don't get blessed. But that's not how it is with God. It goes on and it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We realize this is a broken world. It offers us all kinds of things, but it can't fulfill them. They're only fulfilled in Christ. We're human beings. We sometimes want them really bad. But when we go through our sufferings and we go through things and we walk through with God, what we realize is this. Those things don't define my life. Those things don't make my life. The love of God that's poured out in my heart and the hope of God because of how great he is, and no matter what little thing I lose, it's nothing in compared to what God is going to do and what God wants to do. And so I'm filled with hope. Because I see the greatness of God and I see his great love for me. And it goes back to Christ. And this is why we always want to meditate and think about who God is revealing his heart to us. Who he is, how he shows us in Christ. And in verse 6 it says, you see. Sometimes we don't see. But this is what we need to see. You see that at just the right time, when we were powerless, All of us have felt that way at times. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for me when I was a rebel. Christ died for me when I didn't care about him. Christ died for me when I heard the gospel and I trampled the blood of Christ underfoot, running to go get what I thought was more important than God. Christ died for the ungodly. Now in my heart, I am connected to him. I want to be godly. Surely he will forgive me now. We rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? That's why perfect love casts out fear. Because God's perfect love casts out from us the fear of punishment. Because when we mess up, we feel like we deserve what? And if we feel like we deserve to be punished and we don't deserve what God wants long enough, we'll start to think that God doesn't want to give it to us either. And now what's happened is our view has been distorted of God. We're not seeing God of who he revealed himself to us to be in Christ, who died for us when we were sinners and ungodly. We're starting to see God as someone who's more like us, who has a hard time forgiving and will hold a grudge. For if while we were God's enemies, it says in verse 10, think about that. We may not have realized we were God's enemies, but when we are working for the world, everything we do, everything we point to, everything we value, everything we're communicating to other people that are important do not include a relationship with God. We are working against him and fighting against him. We are his enemies. And while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more having been saved, how much more having been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? And not only this, but we also boast through whom we now have received reconciliation. I just love that encouragement that Paul gives us. And he says, hey, see Christ as who he is. Don't see him as who the devil tries to get you to think him. Don't see Christ through human eyes. See Christ through who he reveals himself to you to be. See God as who all of the Bible and all of the stories in the Bible portray him. Someone with unfailing love and mercy who desires to give it and will give it to anyone who will receive it. And realize that we have been reconciled with God, and that doesn't mean that we're God. It means we recognize we need God. It means we recognize that we need God's hand to help us grow to be more like him, because we have to be changed. We have to have our minds renewed. We have to be transformed into the image of Christ. We're not Christ. And God knew that when he died for us, and he knows it right now. And he's for us to make us like Christ, not to condemn us. So there's enough in the world to discourage you. You got an enemy who wants to accuse and discourage you. And what Paul is saying is this: don't discourage yourself. Take the truth of God and look at it and meditate and think about it. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't put it over here on the shelf. And then listen to what the world and what your heart tells you about how God ought to treat you. Pull that word out. Meditate on who God says he is. Spend that time and draw near to him and let God reveal himself to you, because that's where the strength to live comes from. That's where the strength to grow comes from. Well, let's just bow our heads before God, and I'm going to give you just a moment, and whatever God is speaking in your life, just relate that back with him. Father, we know we live in a broken world. We know we live in a deceitful world. We know we live in a world that cannot fulfill the promises that it makes to us. But we also know that you are not like the world. We know this. We need you. We know this. There's no hope without you. But we also know this, that with you, there is nothing to fear. With you, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. And it starts with the fact that you know everything. You created and put everything in place. It works the way you created it. You know our hearts. You know what we need, and you know what you can do with our lives, and you promise us what you will do. And so, Father, we just want to lay our lives before you, and we just admit that we're not like you. And it boggles our mind that you want to make us in our heart like you. You want us to be like Christ was on this earth. And that you promise us through your Holy Spirit that you can change our hearts to make us that way. And we want that. We want to be fearless like he was. We want to be completely clean and free from guilt and from the burden of grudges and hatred. And we want all of our heart just to be filled with the love that you want to pour out in our hearts. It's how we want to live. And we know that you have opened that door to access your presence and that grace through Christ. It's when we look and see who you are that we know what we want to be like. And so, Father, we just ask you that your truth will set us free, that you'll give us a clear vision of who Christ is. It will be such a wonderful vision that we never want that picture to leave the forefront of our minds. We don't want to think about the world and about how the world is and about how people in the world is and what it takes to get ahead in the world. We don't want to be in the rat race. We want to live above this world like Christ did. We want to live this our lives walking with you, saved from this present age. And we know that's what Christ died for. And so, Father, we lay our hearts and our lives down before you because we know that we can trust you. What God would have created us, and when we walked away, would have come in the flesh to be able to relate to us, to save us? Why would you care about us? Father, that is just so awesome for us to think about. Let us never stop thinking about how incredible your love is given to us through Christ. And he is the one through which we find salvation, because it's only through seeing Christ that we really see who you are. So we thank you for dying on that cross and for rising from the dead, that we might not only be justified, but that we could be living in a way that we are continually being more and more justified in our actions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.